Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and I'm here with my brothers, Terrell.
Hello, everyone.
I was waiting to see if you were going to say
that. Yeah, normally
I know. I wanted to see if you were ready.
And
Taj Jackson.
Hello.
And I guess, well, we have a guest today, but before I introduce the guest, there's a couple things that I wanted to talk to you guys about. First of all, this election here in the States is pretty wild. To say it was a shock and upset, I think, is an understatement. But I don't want to go too far into it because that's not what today's show is about. But I urge everyone to unite and be the best you can for our country and for humanity, in a sense. So put all the emotions aside and just try to be one. Taj, Terrell, you guys have anything to add?
That's well said.
Yeah.
That was well said.
Pretty good.
Were you guys shocked?
I raised you well.
Were you guys shocked?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. My voice sounds like this because I didn't go to sleep till 7 in the morning. I was actually
watching news.
Yeah, and checking social media, just the reactions and stuff. And it, yeah.
You sound down,
huh?
You sound down.
I wasn't shocked. Unfortunately, I don't know. Maybe it's because of what our family's gone through with the media and people's opinion. So it didn't shock me to know that, you know, people can believe what they want to believe.
Yeah. And I have to say, you're out of us three, you're the most, I think, politically driven. Yeah, that's the wrong term, but you know what I mean. The one who was
politically educated.
I don't like using the word education
with
you.
Yes.
But yeah, something like that.
You follow it the most.
I follow it the most, yeah. And it's funny because I think it's as I get older and that I just follow it. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any kids yet, I care so much about, you know, the future for children because I want to bring a child into this world and I got to make sure it's right.
Yeah.
Scary times.
What do you got, Terrell?
No, I'm just, I don't get into politics too much, but I think it opens everyone's eyes, I guess, you know, and we get to see how things are right now instead of always having a mask on things. It's like I said earlier, and Taj just said, I'm surprised, but I'm not, you know?
Well, I'm optimistic that I'm hoping that Trump is more bark than bite. I was at least pleased with his little speech afterwards, won, where it was very chill and about unity and seemed very, and it's sad to say this, but seemed very mature, you know, and real. So I hope we get that side more than the attacking side that we've seen. But like
I didn't follow it that much. Yeah. I have to be honest.
I didn't either.
Because I don't really do the politics thing. So yeah. I'm not really educated and don't know too much about both parties to really sit here and talk about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think from what I did see, I guess maybe Trump did some things to get the win.
Yeah.
You know? It was all about getting votes, and sometimes you do whatever you got to do to get the votes.
He was smarter about it.
Once you get the votes, then you do what you got to do. So hopefully he'll be good for all of us.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, we got to be optimistic, but I also think that it's all who he elects as well.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of power to elect people now, and that can change a lot of things in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
But we do encourage everybody to get out there and vote.
Yeah, right? Well, next time.
Yes. Yeah,
next time. Don't go now.
It's important. Yeah.
But next time.
You got to vote.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're live on the Power of Love Radio Show. And if you're listening to us right now, thanks for joining us. Later on in our show, we'll be opening it up to taking a few questions on Twitter. So if you have a question about the topic, which I guess I can reveal, or should I wait?
I think you already revealed
it. No, I haven't.
Social media.
Oh, I did on social media. Well, we'll keep it there. If you have any questions about the topic that we're going to talk about and you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can reach us at on Twitter at DDJ Foundation. Another important announcement we want to talk about is our Costume for Cause, the D.D. Jackson Foundation Costume for Cause party.
Yeah.
That was held, what was it, a week and a half ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not last Sunday, the Sunday before.
Jeez.
So, Todd, you want to talk about it?
I'm still exhausted from it. Sure. I mean, you know, I just want to thank everyone that supported it. You know, we have a couple of sponsors. You know, there's a lot of sponsors. But I'm going to break them into little categories right now because, but Pepsi, you
awesome.
Know, of course, thank you for supporting our family throughout these years too. LA Splash Cosmetics, which was our very first sponsor. So
sweet.
We want to thank you
LA
as well.
LA Splash.
And Mama's Boy, which, you know, was a very big hit
awesome.
At the party. So we want to thank, you know, them as well. And TLK Fusion.
Cool.
You know, they were the ones that kind of helped us get everything together in terms of sponsors wise, pretty much. And should I keep going?
I think you should. I think you should just knock them out.
Okay, I'll knock them out. Tacos Way.
So. And I heard those went quickly.
Those went quickly. Yeah, there's a line for that. And,
okay.
Oh, gosh, I don't know how to pronounce this. If it's Tretch or Treach.
Don't know.
Sellers.
Don't know. How do you spell it?
Tretach.
Tretch.
Tretch?
Yeah.
We're going to go with Tretch. Yeah. Tretch Sellers. So thank you very much. And Frisco Sellers as well. And then Frisco Restaurants. And last but not least, Shaved LA.
Which is Shaved Ice, right?
Yes. You had one of those, didn't you?
I did.
At the end.
I did at the very end.
What else did you guys have? What else did you partake in?
A
in
Pepsi, terms of course. Yeah. I don't do beer, but I do
the
Pepsi.
Only thing I got was the Shaved LA thing. I was running around.
I was in line for tacos and the sliders.
I could have used a drink or two, but yeah.
But really, thank you all your sponsors for helping us put that event together. Mm-hmm. It was huge for our foundation. And
they're sponsoring the show as well, this show.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
We'll be repeating this for next week and the week after, a couple of them.
Cool.
No, it was a great event. It was a good fundraising event. We raised money for the cause, and we brought awareness to a lot of people. And hopefully those there will spread the word. And it's gonna be fun from this point on.
And the costumes were good. I gotta say, Tara, I think you had the best costume
really?
Of the night. Yeah, man. I walked into him and didn't even know it was my own brother. And it's not like he had a mask on. It was just well done.
It was. I was very surprised that he went went full out on that. So I'm
very impressed.
But it was also cool because, you know, we all danced to. Well, I didn't dance, but to Jackson music.
Yeah,
you know, it was great in that way. Seeing people dance to that. So
cool. Cool. So anything else regarding the party?
No, I also just want to thank the board members at the
DDJF,
you know, for coming through and all the volunteers as well.
Good one. Good one. Okay, so as we always say, we're not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by loss, and we've learned from loss. And we're here to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome what you're going through. So saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek and find it. Don't rely on us. We're not licensed to give help, but we just want to open up the conversation and make sure you feel that you're not alone. Taj, do you want to do the social handles before I introduce our guests?
Sure. Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. Facebook is DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Instagram is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org.
Cool. So today's guest is someone that I've known actually for a little over a year now. And I have to say before, obviously, as Taj and Terrell, we know, we've always been kind of, I should say it this way, before we decided on what the D.D. Jackson Foundation was going to be about, loss and grief, there was a couple other foundations we were thinking of kind of gearing the foundation to. And one of them was Alzheimer's, because it impacts our mother's side of the family pretty deeply. We lost our grandmother to it, our mother's mother, and an aunt to it, and another aunt is diagnosed. So it's something that's very dear to our hearts, and finding the cure and helping people become aware of it and learn how to cope and deal with it is something that's very important to us. So with that said, I'm doing my second, I actually did a 12, no, I did the marathon.
Yeah. The LA Marathon.
The LA Marathon, which, yeah, by the way, thing. I can't even run 2 miles now. It's sad. I don't know what, it must be a mental, yeah, thing. But did the LA Marathon and represented Alzheimer's, and did last year's walk representing Alzheimer's. And this Saturday, I'm doing the walk representing Alzheimer's. And Daniela was the one who kind of helped me get there. Our guest today, Daniela Sarmina, is from the Alzheimer's Association, the California Southland chapter. So with that said, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank Daniela, you so much for having me.
On such a short notice, too. It was, you know, very, very thankful to have you. So what I think people don't understand is that Alzheimer's, I'm not sure if you're aware of it. We learned about it as teens because, like I said, our grandmother, we saw her deteriorate and suffer through it, and go from a grandmother who knew all of our names, obviously, and would talk to us, to one that literally didn't know us from anyone. And each and every time we saw her, we had to, in a sense, reintroduce ourselves and re-catch her up on what was going on. And it was it's a very tough time. Cheryl, do you remember anything?
I remember all too well. But first, I think we should ask you,
What is Alzheimer's? So Alzheimer's is a disease, a cognitive disease, where basically folks begin to decline cognitively. And what ends up happening is essentially you think of your brain and it just starts to deteriorate and get smaller and smaller. And your brain is, you know, the main hub, the control center of your entire body. So little by little, you begin to lose the ability to do pretty much everything. And that includes swallowing. That includes eventually breathing. And that's how people eventually pass away from it.
Mm. And I knew it was one of the leading causes of death. I actually didn't know it was this high on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sixth leading cause of death.
It is in the nation. And there's over 5 million Americans that are currently suffering from it, and many, many millions more that are caring currently for the people that have Alzheimer's disease. And a lot of those caregivers, many of them suffer from depression. They suffer from exhaustion, burnout, all sorts of different things. So it's just, it hits a lot of people, you know. It has a really, really big impact, obviously, on families as well, mm-hmm, psychologically. So it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I want to point out is, I didn't know that until today, is that it's, what did you call it, disproportionately?
Oh, yes, it disproportionately affects women. So if you think about it this way, women typically live longer. So it's possible that more women are being diagnosed because they are living longer. But it does, at this point, we have found that more women have it. And they are also disproportionately affected because women are more likely to be caregivers for the people that have Alzheimer's disease. So again, same thing we were talking about. It's a very difficult disease for caregivers. So women just across the board are affected the most.
I see. Go ahead, Tara.
So is this something you can get tested for, or?
There are tests. Okay. It's not an easy test, so it's not like a simple blood test or anything like that. There are cognitive tests that you can go through. You can get MRIs, but as you can imagine, it's pretty expensive to have a lot of those, mm-hmm, things, so many people go undiagnosed. Just recently, there was an approval. I want to see the federal government, or it might have been California. I'll have to fact check. But they basically approved funds for Medi-Cal to actually help with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, that's
so that's huge. Yeah. It's huge because especially for communities of color, they go, you know, underrepresented in a lot of the statistics because they are not getting diagnosed as frequently.
Mm. And what age group are we speaking of normally?
So normally it affects persons over 65. That's kind of when people are at their highest risk. But more and more we're finding people that are getting it early. And that's called early onset Alzheimer's. I just met a gentleman a couple of months ago. He actually threw out the first pitch at the Dodgers game that we had, an Alzheimer's awareness Dodgers game. So he threw out the first pitch. I believe he's in his mid-50s, and he is diagnosed. He's not really far along, but definitely you can tell, you know, when you speak with him, when you interact with him, and he knows, obviously, you know. So the Dodgers game was really important for him because it was the first time that he kind of came out publicly within his community to let everyone know. But the support he received from everyone was just amazing. And so that's really helping him kind of to cope with everything that's going on.
I just think if you find out you have Alzheimer's, what's the common reaction you usually see when someone realizes? Is it skepticism? Is it fear? Is it what kind of things do you see?
It's all sorts of things, and it really depends on the person. If you think of it as a loss, you know, in that sense, there's denial, there's anger, there's all those different things. You know, there's bargaining. Please, you know, don't let this be happening to me. So it's a very similar reaction to, you know, when you lose somebody, because in that sense, you know that you're kind of losing yourself eventually.
And I have a small confession, not that I have it, but I have a horrible memory, and I always, not always, but often think, maybe I have or I'm going to have it. Do you know if that's a correlation at all? That since even at a young age, I had a horrible memory. Hopefully it's just because I don't pay attention or I have a lot going on.
You know, we actually do get that question a lot. So much that we have a lot of pamphlets and we have a lot of information online that you can take a look at. That kind of helps differentiate what normal aging is versus, when there's issues. So I believe the way that they put it is it's not forgetting somebody's phone number. It's forgetting what a phone is. Does that make sense? So
it is different.
Yes, okay. There's a difference. But if you go on, if you go online, there's all sorts of material that we have on our website that kind of, there's even kind of like a little quiz because a lot of people are like, I forgot my friend's birthday.
It's not lyrics.
No, it's definitely not lyrics. It goes beyond that. It's, getting lost on the way home. It's getting confused about things that you used to do every single day. That's what we get, I think, the most feedback from caregivers that observe, their loved ones as they're kind of declining, is that they no longer recognize, like I said, like what a cell phone is or what it's used for. So not so much like the phone numbers that they can't remember.
You mentioned there's kind of like a pre-test someone at home can take by going to, is it your website? Tell us the website?
Yes, absolutely. So you can go to www.alz.org/SoCal, so SOCAL. And that'll take you to all sorts of information, both locally, and then also you can, wherever you are in the nation, if you go to alz.org, you can enter your zip code and it'll give you the information for your local office. So local services, all that type of stuff, they're readily available. All you have to do is log on.
Cool. I should also, now's a good time to actually talk about the 1-800 number.
Yes.
Do you want to do that as well?
Sure. Yeah. So one of the biggest, the greatest services I think that we have is that we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline that you can access. You can call from anywhere in the nation, and you can have basically information about anything. The people that work there or that work the helpline are trained clinicians, so they can handle crisis situations, which happen very often. You know, caregivers who are very frustrated sometimes call in, hey, my mother won't go to sleep, or this is happening, or I really just need to talk to somebody. So you can call with any issues even for, to that extent. So just, hey, I've got some questions about long-term care planning, or I want to find ways to get involved. I want to volunteer. I want to raise money. Anything you have as far as a question, you can call that line, and they will direct you to a local office if needed, or they'll provide you this information on the spot.
And that number is 800-272-3900. Again, 800-272-3900.
Question.
Yes.
So if you are diagnosed with this, what is something you can do? Is there any?
I would suggest really reaching out to organizations such as ours, because they can give you a better idea of what to expect in the future, because obviously they've seen it. If you have it, and I would suggest looking at long-term planning, it's a difficult conversation to have, I think, to start thinking about end of life, you know, services and all that type of stuff. And I think that's really why people are kind of scared to even get diagnosed, because it's scary, obviously.
What's like the average lifespan once you're diagnosed?
It depends. I've seen people go, you know, like up to 10 years plus with the disease. Just declining kind of little by little. But you do get to a point where some of those major decisions you're no longer really able to make. Right. So it is important to have those conversations with your family, with yourself, and really start that planning going, because the last thing you want to do, and that's the hardest thing to do, is you just don't have any control over anything anymore.
And there's nothing you can do to slow the process down.
No, there isn't. There's four drugs that are currently approved to treat the disease, but they do not slow down the progression. They just kind of help alleviate some of the symptoms.
And what are some of the things, if you know somebody that's going through this, how can you help them?
I would say the first thing is to provide them a safe space to talk about the disease. It's a very isolating disease, because if you don't know, if you haven't had the experience yourself, it's hard for people to understand, right? And it's hard also because as a caregiver, or even as a person that has it, you go through all sorts of different emotions that people might not get. You can be really sad, but you can also be really angry at the person that has Alzheimer's disease, and that doesn't come from a place of hate. It comes from a frustration, just any frustration. I mean, imagine the frustration you have, like when you with your kids, right? It's not that you're, you know, oh, I hate my kids. It's just something natural that happens, but people feel guilty, you know. For having those types of emotions, and so sometimes it's just very difficult for them to find a safe space to talk about these types of things to others. That's why I think community support, like I was saying, the gentleman that told his community, I think it's made that a lot easier for him as a transition, because he doesn't have to be as embarrassed if he forgets things. Or
I feel like over the years, it's becoming more, I don't want to say popular, but it's being more talked about, which is helping, you know, for that reason of not feeling alone and isolated.
Exactly.
But also for awareness, you know, for helping to find a cure. I remember just, and the thing I like to add is with Alzheimer's, I remember it's not only you see the person deteriorate, but like you said, the fact that it seems like you're starting at step one over and over, in a way it can get trying, and just re-hits it for you, like the sadness for it. So I just, go ahead, Josh.
No, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, when Grandma had it, Grandma Irma, for me, that was the hard thing, because every time we saw her, she would ask, where's your, you know, where's Dee Dee? Where's Dolores?
Where's your mom?
Yeah, where's your mom? And so for that was hard, because every time we had explained to her that she's no longer here, and it was literally every time that we saw her, and that became hard on me. So I actually stopped going, because it was kind of trying, as you said, but it was also emotionally trying for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you experience grief over and over and over, and sorry, that's kind of how this disease is. If you think of the five different stages of grief that you have, you've got the anger, you've got, well, it's the denial, the anger, the bargaining, the depression, and then eventually the acceptance. With Alzheimer's disease, you experience this over and over and over as the person deteriorates. So, you know, when they start not being able to wash themselves or, you know, that's one loss. Mm-hmm. When they can't feed themselves anymore, that's another loss. When they don't remember you anymore, that's obviously the most significant of all the losses. And so you are continuously kind of just going through these stages over and over and over again. So it's definitely very trying.
Yeah. And that was the interesting thing, too, is because when my grandma was diagnosed, my mom and Auntie Lourdes were the ones, you know, that were there every day, you know, yeah. taking care of her. So that was the thing. She remembered parts of that, but it's just, yeah, so I understand. Yeah, it's like every step.
It's an incredibly trying disease for the family to go through. Obviously, I've never had it, so I don't know what it feels like from their perspective, but from a family's perspective, it's incredibly difficult and trying.
And are there resources on the website as well for
yes,
that
definitely.
Kind of point of view?
Mm-hmm. So definitely, as we were kind of starting on, the first thing I think you can do is just provide friends the opportunity to just let them know, hey, I'm here and I understand, or I can try to understand, or, you know, if you need to talk. So just providing kind of a safe space for them to just be whatever it is that they need to be. And obviously, you're not a licensed therapist, so you're not going to be able probably to understand a lot of that stuff, but then you can shift them over and, you know, provide some other resources. So mm-hmm. on our website, we have all sorts of education. We have online support groups. We have in-person support groups. Just all sorts of different tools and things that they can do and ways to get involved. Sometimes people like to get involved as volunteers because mm-hmm. that helps empower them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they like to be advocates, you know, in the public policy realm. So they like going to talk to the senators and going to Capitol Hill and doing that whole thing to try to, you know, find a cause. That's also very empowering. So if you go on our website, you can see that there's plenty of opportunities to get involved and also plenty of resources as well. All of our services are free. We provide not only just support groups or like the helpline, but we can actually also provide more of a long-term care plan. So whoever you build the relationship with as far as the clinician on the telephone will actually help assign you to someone who will check in with you periodically mm-hmm. And help you kind That's of great. Start a plan. Yeah, That's it's great. Very important to start a plan.
And the website again is www.alz.org/SoCal, SOCAL. Is that right?
Yes, that's perfect.
Perfect. And the national phone number is 800-272-3900. And whether you feel you may, whatever, any concerns you have about Alzheimer's, call that number, whether it's a family member, whether you're concerned for yourself, call that number and go from there. Sarah, you got anything?
Yeah. Is there different stages? Because it must be scary and dangerous also for one that has it to, you know, you said losing sense of directions. Yes. So if you're someone that has it and you're fine on Monday, on Thursday, you may lose like sense of where you are and how to get back home.
Right. So it's the decline. I've seen it happen pretty quickly, but it's never like just from one day to the other like that. Usually you'll start to see signs that are pretty significant pretty early on, but there is different stages, and at some point you do kind of a lot of people get like their keys taken away and things like right. that. They're no longer able to drive because, you know, they can't really operate a vehicle, they get lost, that type of thing. So it's really unsafe for them to drive.
But what I'm trying to say is on mm-hmm. Monday they may be fine, they may be able to mm-hmm. drive the vehicle and know how to get home, but then a few days later, is that how it is? Or
you know, I'd probably have to double check. I don't think that it happens like that quickly from one day to the other.
You can't go back and forth?
No.
So once you forget where you live, you forget where you live?
It can kind of come back a little bit,
yeah,
but
okay.
once you hit that kind
stage,
of
it's kind of like you should give, you like, could pass the keys
exactly,
over, right?
Exactly. When Got someone it. Hits that stage, it's really, it's not
safe.
I'll give you the keys today, but right. maybe not tomorrow. No, at that right. point, it's, and that's really difficult for people as well, because driving is such a independent thing, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. and so people don't want that taken away from them. There's a really, really good documentary that is difficult to watch. I mean, because, you know, emotionally you're just like, oh, but it's by HBO. I want to see, it's called The Alzheimer's Project. It's really, really good. So if you don't know anything about Alzheimer's disease at all and kind of want to get a firsthand experience, that a perspective from people that have it and people that are taking care of them, you can watch that documentary. It's really, really good.
Alzheimer's Project.
Alzheimer's Project.
And, you know, I was on a flight home from Europe, and I watched the movie, I forgot, with the female actress who's very...
Oh, Still Alice.
Yeah.
Redhead?
Yeah,
Julianne Moore.
That was a good movie.
It was very
good. And if you don't, if you're not into documentaries and more into movies, watch that movie so you can
get Still Alice.
Mm-hmm. Did she win an award for that?
Mm-hmm.
She won a best Oscar.
Taji. She won best actress.
He's supposed to be our movie buff.
Yeah, I got Julianne Moore. Okay, so
and he's looking at me like,
yeah, I didn't see the movie by the way. So
it's good.
Did you see that on the plane, TJ?
I did.
I remember when you said that.
It was good, man. Yeah.
Did That's you hold recently, it together? Because
I
would have been.
Like, I did. It's just it was about a couple years ago, but it's a devastating disease, and you just see how it affects the family And just to say it affects the family is one thing, but to see how it affects everything from the finances to the relationships to just everything, you know, because what people don't understand is, Danielle, correct me if I'm wrong, the primary caregiver for them is usually another family member. So in a way, they lose their quote-unquote life. Mm-hmm. So now they're dedicating their time dealing with seeing their loved one just deteriorate.
Mm-hmm. And often they don't have a social life. You know, they don't have a lot of friends. They have to stay at home because it becomes a 24-hour thing, you know, to take care of them. And so it's really...
And then it's trying on them and their lives. And then it affects how their relationship is with their kids. Or, you know, it's like you said, it can be frustrating, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's out of love. You know, it's not a hate thing. It's just, it's a tough disease.
Mm-hmm.
And now that, since we're talking about family caregivers, I'm seeing that they spend more than $5,000 a year caring for someone. This is on the ALZ.org site, which for some families means missing a vacation, but for others it may mean going hungry. So it's. I think you told us earlier, Danielle, that it's the most expensive disease.
It is. It is in the U.S.,
so it's something that's very serious, and I hope we're making progress overall.
We are. We have a very large advocate base, and that's really, I mean, if you think of any of the other diseases that have had huge breakthroughs with cures and that type of thing, treatments, they had a big funding from the federal government, from, you know, so that's really something that we are working
on. We haven't gotten that yet.
We've gotten some.
Okay.
There's a HOPE Act that, you know, if you want details on, you can look online. That's all. Again, it's on the website, all of our public policy. So if you want to know, hey, what are some of the laws or some of the things that are coming into effect, all of that information is on the website as well. But yeah, our public policy efforts are huge right now. We have a huge event that we go to Washington, D.C. for. And, you know, we just try to turn it into a sea of purple because purple is our color.
And I love that.
We do that locally in every state as well. So you can go to Sacramento and also do that. So it's huge. And so we're trying to bring the Alzheimer's to the forefront of conversation. We want people to talk about it. So we want the movies. We want all of these things because, A, we want to get rid of the stigma, right? We want people to be able to talk about this disease without being embarrassed. So we want to do that. And then also we just want to make sure that, you know, our policy makers know that this is an important disease, that it affects a lot of people, and that they should be doing the most that they can to help us find a cure or a viable treatment and provide support for the people that are dealing with it.
And it's, I guess it's important to know, I saw here too that 66 seconds, every 66 seconds someone is diagnosed with it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It claims more lives than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined.
And there's no survivors. I mean, there's survivors of those things. There's no survivors. So.
And November is Alzheimer's Month.
Yes.
Association's, I guess, Alzheimer's Disease Awareness and Caregivers Month. And who are some of the, I should ask this, who are some of the popular figures who have passed from Alzheimer's?
I know
it's Ronald Reagan.
Ronald
right?
Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman that just passed away.
Was it an actor?
Pure Imagination. He was Willy Wonka. Gene Wilder.
What's his was he was keeping it private, right?
Yeah, because he didn't want kids. I read somewhere he didn't want kids to come up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yes. There's been a lot of notable people. Those are the two or the most recent that I can think of, at least that I.
Yeah.
You know, because for me, I'm hyper aware, obviously, of when people pass, you know, things like that. But that was also somebody that I grew up watching because, you know, Willy Wonka was like my favorite movie.
Yeah,
it continues to be one of my favorites. You know,
it's magical.
Yeah, and so it was a big hit for me. And we did a small tribute to him at one of our walks in Santa Monica, and I was just like, oh, I gotta like take a step back because I'm gonna lose it right now. Yeah, it was rough.
And he. Well, I shouldn't say he, but can you explain how Alzheimer's differs from other dementias? Let me ask it like this. Is Alzheimer's a dementia?
Yes. So Alzheimer's is a dementia. You can think of dementia as kind of an umbrella. So you can have dementia from all sorts of different other diseases as well. So it can be kind of like something that happens to you if you have hypertension or something along those lines. But Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. So under the umbrella, it's the most common form. But you can have it from other things as well. And we actually work with people that also are dealing with related dementia. So it's not just Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's hereditary, basically. Because one of the someone...
One of the questions?
Yes. It might be a good time for questions.
As
well. We have some social
media. We actually have a lot of questions, so I think we should get to some of them before time. Yours truly, April, she asked Daniela, basically she heard that consuming lots of bread can cause Alzheimer's disease. I heard this on a doctor show I was watching. That's true. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of myths and wives' tales.
There is. And that's, I think that's the hardest part right now is that we're trying to do as much research as we can to find a cure. And with that, there's research, you know, on all sorts of different things. I mean, just think about that. Yeah. There's so many different things that you can study that are like, is this related?
Yeah.
With the bread thing, as an organization, we don't put ourselves behind obviously every single research thing that comes out, right? Mm-hmm. Because unless there's a definitive thing that across the board all medical, you know, persons agree, hey, this definitely is something that causes it, we're not going to put ourselves behind it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that have been kind of proven to help. So one of the diets that's recommended is a Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is? Mediterranean
diet?
Is that just
like
fish?
Let's look it up.
Yeah, they can look it up on the internet.
Pescatarian.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
So Mediterranean diet is one of the things.
Why is that so funny? Is that funny, Taj?
To tear all it is.
That's not funny, right? That was a good guess. Yeah. I don't know why.
I think it is fish, though. I think it might be.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that far off. I don't know why I'm getting laughed at.
Mediterranean?
Mediterranean.
It's got to be Mediterranean food, no?
Mediterranean.
I don't know, Terrell.
Yeah.
Hey, fish popped in my head. I've been taught to say what pops in my head, so that's what it. I don't know.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Too.
I'm looking here.
Okay,
Mediterranean.
And then one, I asked you earlier because you're wearing. I asked you if that was on purpose.
Yes.
Do you want to?
Yes. So I am wearing purple, which is the color of the cause. It's actually the color of lots of different causes, but you know,
is
that's
it?
Good. I've seen a couple. I think it might be domestic violence's color as well, which
in your phone case as well.
Oh, my phone case as well is purple. I try to brand myself as much as possible. It was actually when I first started working for the organization, it was something that my boss did. All the time whenever he went out. He said, you know, I want to be, this is a cause that's important to me, and I want to be tied to it to the bone. You know what I mean? I want when people see me, I want people to know this person is representative of that organization. So I try to brand myself as much as possible.
So is your closet just all purple pretty much?
I have a lot of purple.
Do you have a purple pair of jeans?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yes. They are jeggings.
Really?
Yeah.
They make those?
They do. They do. I used to work at Nordstrom, and I bought them.
Yeah, really? Yeah. A purple pair of jeans.
Yeah, I have a lot of purple. This is actually, I have two of these same shirts, actually.
That's great.
Because I couldn't find like a purple colored shirt for the longest time, and then I went into a Banana Republic, and I found two, and I was like, I'm
getting both, right?
Yes.
Todd, what do we got?
We have another question from E. Gail Richardson. How do you explain to a person who has dementia or borderline Alzheimer's that they're ill, especially when they're combative?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh,
that's a hard
how
one.
How do you explain it? It's difficult, and I think it really, there's no one way to explain it to the person. There's no one formula. And I would just say that you know your loved one best, right? Mm-hmm. So I would leave that task up to you. It is going to be difficult though, and so I think something that I try to stick with me and my life and just in general is that you can't control other people or their reactions. You can only control your own, mm-hmm. right? So I think being prepared to have that conversation, making sure that you are emotionally prepared, that you are physically, you know, just that your body, everything that you're going to present is sound, and having resources as mm-hmm. well is the best way to do it. You just want to go in as prepared as possible.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think
there's major denial.
Yeah,
I'm sure. It sounds like an acceptance.
Even from caregivers. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A lot of time caregivers will be like, I don't think so. You know, she's fine. I think she's fine. You know, that type of thing. That's really difficult too, because, you know, when it really starts declining very badly, it's like, whoa.
Are the tests pretty good? Like, do they, can they kind of catch, I don't want to say catch it early, but are they pretty accurate? Do you know?
I don't know what the percentage would be as far as how accurate they are. I think we kind of skipped over a little bit of one of the questions you asked was if it's hereditary. Mm-hmm. So there is a gene that has been identified that people that have it, it does increase your likelihood of get it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get it for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. And that's why really more research needs to be done, and mm-hmm. that's why we need the government funding. What we also need is, and this is kind of scary to people, but what we also need are people to participate in clinical trials, both people that have the disease, people that don't have the disease, people that have the disease that runs in their family. And a lot of times people don't want to know if they, you know, have the gene, because it's a scary thing. But even if we had all the money in the world to do research, unless we actually have mm-hmm. people to do the research on and to help us with that part of it, then we're kind of stuck as well, mm-hmm. you know?
So how would, if you wanted to help in that way, is that mm-hmm. the same thing, call the number, the 800
yeah.
number?
Mm-hmm. We actually have a couple, we have a public policy initiative, obviously, where you can sign up to be an advocate so you can help with the funding aspect of it or trying to get the funding. And then we also have something called Trial Match, which is something you can sign up for. And it's essentially a database for people who are doing this type of research. And then they can find you, or you can find them. Like, they'll give you a list of all the trials that are in your area. Obviously, research is really specific sometimes, so sometimes they have to pick you out of the group instead. But it's essentially a database that you can join to kind of start getting involved with research.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be not just stuff that's drug-related. It could be behavioral changes, too, because a lot of the research that is coming up has a lot to do with just lifestyle. So a risk reduction, which we don't like to call it a prevention because there's not a prevention that you can, you know, for sure I won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But risk reduction does exist, and that's really just healthy lifestyle overall. So, you know, making sure that you are getting enough exercise, that you are staying cognitively engaged, you know, with other people, that you, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you go on our website, there's a whole list of that as well.
And that doesn't necessarily just deny you the chance of getting it,
no.
but it will help reduce
yes.
the chance that
there's a lot of research that's coming out about the relationship between cognitive decline mm-hmm. and people's lifestyle. So, and like if they work, if they don't work, you know, all that
type
makes
of a
stuff.
Difference.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And like I said, it's not like it's definitive, like, yeah. oh, if you have a 9-to-5 job, you're never going to get it. Nothing right. like that. But it's risk reduction, which is what people, I think, like wow. and need to hear. They need to hear that there's
something,
hope,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's one other question, and it's from Myra. That's asked, she says, my grandma had Alzheimer's, and her daughter, my mother, passed away when my grandma's memory was very bad. Doctors told the family it was better not to tell my grandma that she passed away. She always thought that I was her daughter. Was that good advice? Like, basically, is lying to them.
From the
you
doctors.
Know, like, yeah.
she doesn't want to go there.
Wow.
I want to try to answer this.
I feel
this.
Like that's more of a matter of opinion. Yeah,
I don't think you should
Is it harmful to lie, like, you know?
I don't think.
I think we never lied to grandma. Like, we never said she'll be back or something like that when she asked about her mom. Did we?
You know what? I think.
At one point we just did.
We said she's okay. Because what happened was.
We were trying all different options.
Grandma Irma would always ask. And it wouldn't just be once a visit. It was often 2-3 times.
In that visit, yeah.
And then sometimes it was like, who are you? You know, it's just repetitive. It's like you would have to stop and, you know, explain that she's gone. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she would cry and then things would be fine. And then, you know, it's a cycle. So you just, instead of going through it all, she's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what it was.
There is a tactic that people have where they kind of... move the energy somewhere else, mm-hmm. I guess, if you can, I guess, I don't want to call it deflecting, but it kind of is. Mm-hmm. So that would be something yeah. like that, because that is what happens. And that's often where the frustration comes from caregivers right. is someone asking the same question over and over and over and over. I mean, it's very common. And so redirecting, I think, is the best way to put it, redirecting mm-hmm. the attention to something else.
And that was difficult, especially mm-hmm. for us, because it wasn't oh. something we were wanting and
right
you know to bring up. I have a question.
Sure.
Is there like suffering, is there pain when if they're diagnosed, like when they're going through it, are they hurting
physically? I mean I'd have to double check. I don't think there's, it's not like a, like when you have like an ulcer or something,
right.
there's like
it
a
seems
burning
like it's more
pain or
mental.
Anything like that. It is.
So
it's more
not
of a
like they're
thing.
In pain.
And I don't think we ever, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I don't remember seeing Grandma Irma in pain. I just remember her not knowing.
Right.
It's like we're meeting her for the first time yeah. over and over and over again. So I don't remember her being in pain. And what's crazy is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't really, even when we told her what happened to Mom, I don't remember it being...
sinking in? Like,
yeah, like not really... It was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like the
reaction.
But I'm sure everyone could be yeah. different. But
right. I think, I mean, I think personally, and mm-hmm. I'm speaking just, you know, from my personal experience and what makes sense to me, it's more of a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about if you've ever had really bad anxiety and, like, you're constantly thinking, like, oh, my gosh, like, this is uncomfortable. You know, like the... And imagine being diagnosed with it if you still are, you know, lucid enough to where you understand that you have it. The idea of talking to people, oh, are they going to notice something? Am I going to say something silly? I'm going in and out of this. I have no control. So, like, thinking of the way that you feel, like, at your most anxious is mm-hmm. probably what I would imagine it would kind of feel like, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's confusing. So it's all of the emotions that kind of come with that. And obviously emotions... have a physical reaction, right, or yeah. connected to our physical body. So I would imagine that there is some sort of a physical effect, but I wouldn't know exactly to say, like, you know, it's not like I said, like something like an ulcer or that type yeah. of a disease where it's obviously.
So, and yeah, we have to go shortly, but do you want to talk about Saturday's event?
Sure. So one of the things that we also like to promote, aside from all of our services, is the idea of getting involved, because it can be very empowering for people. And, you know, I've had people get involved in our walks before who, you know, afterwards were just like, you know what, that really helped me heal from either my loss or if you're currently going through it, just being within a community of people that you know understands you, mm-hmm. right? So we have a walk to end Alzheimer's. They are held across the U.S. in many, many different communities, over 600 different communities, I believe. And we have one coming up on Saturday yeah. for Los Angeles. Yeah. It's going to be a huge, huge event. We're having it at LA Live, which is in downtown LA. And you can find more information if you visit our website. Again, that's www.alz.org/SoCal. There's a little banner on there that says Walk to End Alzheimer's, join us. So you can come. You don't have to fundraise. You can register, you know, the day of. You can register online, you know, now in the couple days before. But we do have day of registration if you want to show up that day. I would suggest that you arrive pretty early. Mm-hmm. It starts at 7:30 and the walk starts at 9. But the last couple of walks that we have had, we've had a lot of people come pretty late. So uh-oh. Then the walk uh-oh. Starts yeah. and then they're still like trying to get checked in. So I would suggest that you, you know, show up a little bit early. The Laker girls are going to be there. I think we have a couple of the Rams cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. We have some Star Wars characters coming. We have a kids section. It's that's a family great. Event.
Yeah. And I'll be there.
Yeah. It's, I'm coming. It's a really fun family event. We try to make it a day of celebration, even for people that have passed on. We don't want it to be a time to mourn. It's more mm-hmm. of a celebration of the lives that they lived, a celebration of the community that we have, you know, together, the support that we have. We'll have information there about all the services we provide. Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Cool. Well, Danielle, any last 30-second thing you want to talk about or just share? I think you pretty much said it. But
yeah, I mean, I just want to say thank you to you guys for, you know, everything that you do. I mean, this radio show, I'm sitting here, like, you know, trying to, like, not get emotional because it's such a good, happy, healthy thing, you know, and especially when things feel like they're really out of control. I think you guys are sending a really beautiful, powerful message of just unity and love. And so I think that's great. And so thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So there you go. We had Daniela Sarmina from the Alzheimer's Association, the Southland chapter. Thank you so much, Daniela, for coming in. And if you're just discovering our show and want to learn more about our foundation, the D.D. Jackson Foundation, please make sure you go to our website. It's www.ddjf.org. Todd, you want to do social handles real quick?
Yeah, it's Twitter is at DDJ Foundation, Facebook is DEEDEE Jackson Foundation, and Instagram is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation.
So that's pretty much it. We'll be back next Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, be safe and much love to you all.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.